Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." This is our text. Let's do a little thought experiment with these words of Jesus. What if Jesus had said these words in an age of fake news and fact-checking? How would his words be heard? How would his words be received? Jesus says, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth." To which Pilate responds, "Fake news. What is truth? There's no truth." So cynical. So dismissive. Conversation over. Pilate doesn't care one whit about truth. He doesn't care whether truth exists. He doesn't care whether truth can be known. He doesn't care that Jesus is innocent or that he's the Son of God. What matters to Pilate is power, not truth. And he's got all the power. Why, he's got the power of Rome behind him, the power of Roman legions and the Roman emperor Tiberius Caesar. And whatever servants Jesus has, they're no match for the power of Rome. So who cares about the truth? Or again, Jesus says, "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." To which the Jews who believed in him say, "Fact check, we're the seed of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. You can't fool us, Jesus. We're already free." They're not buying it. They know what slaves are, and they know that they're not slaves. They don't care that all the promises made to Abraham are pointing to Jesus. What matters to them is that they themselves are descendants of Abraham, a free man. Why? They claim the land as their inheritance. Whatever freedom Jesus is preaching, they don't care about it. They're already free in every way that matters to them. Jesus says, "You will know the truth." But it's not just Pilate who treats truth as fake news, not just Pilate who's skeptical of truth, not just Pilate who sees power, everything in terms of raw power. The world today is filled with Pilates. Truth, you say? What is truth? Power is all that matters. The winner gets to decide what truth is. The victor gets to define what truth means. Or we hear that truth is subjective, personal, private. Jesus has his truth, you have your truth, and I have my truth, and don't you dare try to impose his truth or your truth on me. Why, truth itself is considered fake news. And I wonder how much of Pilate is inside of us as well. I can tell you there's a good bit of Pilate inside of me. How often am I tempted to think of truth as something that's squishy or unknowable or that changes with the times and the circumstances? Too often. How often do I hear the truth spoken to me in love, yet I find a way to push back against it, to contradict it, or to explain it away? Too often. How often have I acted as though God's word weren't universally and completely true? How often have I put my trust in power rather than in truth? Too often. Way too often. And that question about how often have I put my trust in power rather than in truth is a question that's worth asking ourselves again and again in the next week and a half. When Jesus stood before Pilate, it was Pilate who really stood condemned. It was Pilate who was condemned before Jesus. Pilate, the truth denier. Pilate, the coward. Pilate, the disciple of power. Again, Jesus says, the truth will set you free. But it's not just the Jews who believed in him who fact-check his offer of freedom. Not just those Jews who claim to have all the freedom they need. The world today is filled with such people. Free, you say? We're already free. We've got the right to define our own concept of existence, of meaning, of the universe, and of the mystery of human life. That's what the Supreme Court told us in the case of Planned Parenthood versus Casey. And what could be freer than that? Getting to define our own concept of existence? I can be whoever or whatever I want. I'm totally free, baby. And how much of that is inside us as well? A great deal inside of me. How often are we tempted to think that we're already living free because we can do and say and think whatever we want? Too often. How often have we made this kind of freedom our idol? The freedom from anyone and anything else outside of us? Too often. How often does someone point out our dependency and slavery to things of this world? Maybe it's to your cell phone or to alcohol or to whatever, and we deny it. Too often. We tell ourselves that we could quit any time. We could put it down. No one owns my body. No one tells me what to do. When the Jews who believed stood before Jesus and said that they'd never been enslaved to anyone, they were totally blind to their bondage. The only free person in that conversation was Jesus, who was totally and completely free. What is truth? We've never been enslaved to anyone. Is that so? And how's that working for you? How well does it work for us to deny truth or to create our own truth? You know, reality is a pretty stubborn thing. Every time I've tried to walk straight through a wall, I've just hurt myself. You can't get around it. The created world, the world we live in, isn't a world that's easy to manipulate. You can't make things be what you want them to be, no matter how much power you have. No matter how much power someone has, they can't change the fact that 2 + 2 = 4, and that's the truth. And you can't change something that's sin into something that's not sin, or something that's bad for you into something that's good for you. There is a created reality to this world. The world is structured and it is ordered. Yes, we may not always be able to see the structure or the order of it. We may not always be able to recognize the truth, but there's truth there. God himself is true. And the world he created is true. And he made the world to express and convey that truth. And he's also given his word to us, that we may know the truth about who he is and what he's done. And how's it working, that claim that we've never been enslaved to anyone? Is it really freedom if we're enslaved to our own passions and desires? Is it really freedom if we're enslaved to our own worries and fears? Is it really freedom if I'm the one who gets to define my own concept of existence? If I'm enslaved to my cravings and wants, to myself? You see, that's what sin is. Sin is the lie that we're totally free because the only thing that we're enslaved to is ourselves. Sin is being coiled in on ourselves. Tell me just how good you are at turning your thoughts, your words, and your deeds to someone besides yourself. The moment I try to do it, I'm back thinking about me again. And you know how it was for Pilate. Pilate was the only one there who was stuck by the truth. The truth was that Jesus was innocent, and the truth was that if Pilate set him free, he was going to be in trouble with the people. And so Pilate simply threw up his hands. Who can know the truth? I wash my hands of it. Jesus, you can die. And how does it work to say that we've never been enslaved? Because the more I say that I've never been enslaved to anything, the more I find myself turning inward on myself, deeper and deeper and deeper. So Jesus comes with the truth. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin." He doesn't say that everyone who is a slave to sin commits sin. That also is true, but he says something that's far more devastating to you and to me. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Do you commit sin? Do I commit sin? So what does that say about us? Never been enslaved to anyone, huh? Except myself and my own sin. Jesus has put his finger on the truth about us. Today, of course, is Reformation Sunday. And so it's worth thinking about how these things were present in the life of Martin Luther as well. You know, Martin Luther was one who knew what it was like to have power overrule truth. When he was given 24 hours to recant his writings at the Diet of Worms, Luther came back to that place and he said to the judges who were ruling over him, he said, "Unless you can convince me from Scripture and plain reason that what I've written is false, I cannot and I will not recant. My conscience is held captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me. Amen." They wanted to use their power to shut down the truth. But Luther wouldn't be budged from the word of God. Luther wouldn't be budged from his Savior, Jesus Christ, who'd given his life for him. And what Luther said still stands. Power does not determine truth. Not the power of Pilate and the Roman legions, not the power of the Pope and the Roman Church, not the powers that be in our world today. Truth is God's. It comes from God. He built it into our world, which is ordered and structured, and he's revealed it in his Scriptures. And no one can take that truth away. And Martin Luther also knew what it was to be so free from others, but to be totally enslaved to oneself. He knew what it was to be in bondage to one's own sinful nature, and so to be under God's wrath. You may know the stories of Luther in his cell, knowing that he's enslaved to himself, trying as hard as he can to set himself free. But no amount of penitential works, no number of nights sleeping on a cold, hard floor, no list of days of fasting and number of prayers could set him free. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He knew what it was to be under the righteousness of the law, to be under the yoke of works. He knew what it was to be stuck on the hamster wheel of sin. And even if you're doing what you really want to do, does that make you free? Even if you love the sin that you have, are you really free? And the answer is no. Not in and of our own power. Now, we could at this point just throw up our hands and lament the state of the world. We could throw up our hands and lament the state of ourselves. But that's not what we're here to do today. The festival of the Reformation is not a victory lap for the Lutheran Church. The festival of the Reformation is not a proclamation of how we've gotten it so right and everyone else has gotten it so wrong. The festival of the Reformation is about repentance. That's why we're here today. It's about repentance, God opening our eyes to our denials of the truth and to our love of the slavery of sin so that we fall on our knees in repentance. Repentance not as a work that we do, but as a work that God does in us as he peels back the layers, as he exposes the depths of our sin, as he shows how utterly enslaved we are and how we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Repent. It was the message of John the Baptist. Repent was the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. Repent was the message echoed by Martin Luther. When Christ calls us to repent, he bids the entire life of the Christian to be one of repentance. Day after day and hour after hour. You see, we never move past repentance. We'll never come to the point in time in this life where we'll say, "I have repented fully and perfectly and enough." And now I can move forward as not a sinner. Repentance drives us to Christ. You heard what Jesus said. He said, the slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The slave has no security. The slave has no permanent place. The slave has nowhere to call home eternally. But the son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, Jesus says, you will be free indeed. And that is the truth. That is the good news. The son has come to set you free so that you are now free indeed. You are free to live in the truth, and you are free to confess your sins and to receive his forgiveness. You are free to step out of yourself and to live in Christ. The truth is not simply an idea, but the truth is a person. It is the person of Jesus Christ. You know what Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And the truth is that he paid the price for you. The truth is that he died for your denials of the truth, and he died for the enslavement that you feel daily to sin. He died to be your Savior, and he bore the full weight of it on his shoulders. And so he saves, and he frees. And you and I find our freedom in him. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. If you abide in my word, if you remain in my word, Jesus says, he draws us back to his word again and again and again. We do not have the freedom in ourselves, but we have the freedom through Jesus in his word. Jesus is the truth, and we have him in his word and in his sacraments. We have him as he comes to us day after day and Sunday after Sunday, and he gives himself to us with all that he won on the cross. Your sins forgiven, death defeated, the devil overcome. Get out of yourself, he says, and come into me and live. Dear friends, if the festival of the Reformation would teach us anything, it would teach us to turn to Jesus in his word, and to find in that word the freedom that we need day after day after day. Abide in my word, Jesus says. Abide in my word today and tomorrow and for the rest of your life. Cling to that word, read that word, study that word, learn that word, and do it on a daily basis. I don't know what it's like for all of you sitting here, but I know that for many, this coronavirus time has actually freed up a lot of time in their lives. There are fewer commutes, there are fewer commitments, there are schedules that are more free, there is time that is often more discretionary. What would be better for us in that time than to turn to God's word and to find our freedom in Christ day after day for the rest of our lives? The good news is that a Savior has come. The Son has set you free. And this is a fact that is signed and sealed by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus rose from the dead on the third day as that guarantee that everything he had done was finished and complete, that all your sins were paid, that the truth is not only in him, but is Christ himself. May God strengthen us in the truth, and may God strengthen and keep us in the freedom that we have in Christ, that we may daily turn from our sin and daily follow him in life. In Jesus' name, amen.